us as a congregation. I hope you can at least read most of it on there. And so I'm just going to go back to the life of King David in Scripture. And it's, as mentioned, it's in a few of our times of prayer, this has come out as very significant for us for to relate to the life of David in where we're at now as a body. So I want to really go encourage you to go and read it. Go and study the life of David in Scripture. It's really an amazing encouragement in there in any case, but also very significant for us as a body at this stage. Okay. So in terms of the Scripture we read last week from Samuel, David, especially when Samuel went to anoint the new king, David wasn't the likely choice. You know, he was the smallest and the youngest. His father brought all the other brothers, and then they remember David, kind of thing. Okay, and at this stage in the UK, we're not masses of people. This morning it seems like a few of the guys are not with us, but that's all right. But at the same time, we need to be like Samuel in this season and look not at what God, not at what people see, not at what we kind of see with a natural eye. We need to just look through what God sees and through His eyes. I mean, and very powerful to look at the impact that David's life had on the nation of Israel and how God was able to use him, even though he was such an unlikely choice and such an unlikely candidate, if you could call it that. So in this season, I want to re-encourage you, as we were praying also on Thursday, it just was confirmed again to look through God's eyes, to not to look at what man sees, but to really focus on what he's doing and to celebrate what he's doing. And very powerfully in David's life, we see it in the Psalms, we see it in the way he goes to war even later on in his life. He operates from that place of intimacy with God, okay? One of the most precious accounts for me is a place where, well, no time to read it now, but there's a place where David is out to war and he's got all the warriors with him and the mighty men. That's when he is king. And they're off somewhere taking out some enemy and they come home and another enemy has come and plundered their homes and has taken their wives and children captive and has kind of taken them, I don't know, to do what with. And so they're sitting with this absolute crisis. Can you imagine coming home from work and your family has been abducted, basically? But they're in great, great danger. And what so amazes me about that situation is the response of David. Now, remember, David is one of the greatest warriors that we read of in all of Scripture, right? He is a man of war. He knows his stuff on the battlefield, all right? But in this situation, he doesn't just jump on his chariot and just race after the enemy like we think he should. He stands still, and the Scripture says he goes aside and he inquires of the Lord as to what to do. How powerful is that, to have that control in terms of not just running with what your flesh wants to do, but standing still in that crisis period, saying, "Lord, okay, what would you like me to do? Should I pursue these guys or not?" As if there is a question, you know, we're like, "What?" And he stands still, and the Lord gives him very clear instructions on what to do and how to handle it. And he obviously they get the families back. But such a powerful picture of the meekness that David possessed, and I really feel that is something that that is key for us at this stage. Not to be thrown by crisis and not to be thrown by circumstance, but to really to be at that place of intimacy, to inquire of God, okay, Lord, what is it that you would have us do now? And then living from a place of conviction. When David came onto the battlefield, he had resistance from his brothers, okay, that were questioning, "But why are you here? What are you doing here?" type of thing, you know. This little guy who was 15 or something, this boy, what are you doing here? And then he also obviously faced the abuse and the curse of from the enemy, from Goliath himself, who was saying to him, you come to me with sticks and you know what are you doing?" type of thing. And now again, when we face that kind of resistance, Let us respond in the same way that David did, saying, listen, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you're saying. I'm here in the name of the Lord. I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. And then he explains, if you remember we read last lesson, he explains to Goliath, this is how it's going to work. Today, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hands. I'm going to chop your head off. I'm going to give your body to the animals, type of thing. This 15-year-old boy, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, explains to this giant, this is how it's going to work. Okay, now guys, we're going to face some more giants, okay, as we advance the gospel in this nation and in Europe. But I want us to trust God for that same boldness. Say, listen, I don't care what people say. I don't care what anybody says. We are here because we have been called by God to be here. We've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do what He wants us to do. And therefore, we will not be afraid of anything that comes across our path. Are you with me? And, you know, when we go into Europe or when you go into the big cities of our nation, it's so intimidating. You know, Christianity is not the end thing. I don't know if you've noticed. It's not all the rage anymore. In fact, if you say you believe the scripture, people think you're missing a few screws. And there's a lot of that resistance. Okay, there's a lot of that. But who are you? What on earth are you talking about? Okay, so it's so important for us to hear what God is telling us to do, and to see what is it that He has put in our hands. We're going to get to that in a moment. And I mentioned last week, even from Christians, we've had some resistance from. Literally, you know, people asking us, but why do we need more churches here? Why? And again, it's so easy for us to think, oh, maybe they're right. Maybe we shouldn't be here. But like David, even when his brothers asked him, what are you doing here? He was confident that something must be done. That he's there for a reason. Okay. So let's have that same confidence and that same, I'm really trusting for that impartation from the Holy Spirit, that absolute conviction that this is where God wants me to be. And just for South Africans in the house this morning, I had a good chat with some of our leaders this week, and we chatted about this whole idea of when are we going back, and when, you know, do you have a date? And what we spoke about was that's not actually a good way to think about it, because if I'm continually praying to the Lord, Lord, when do you want me to go somewhere? Or when do you want me to go to a certain place? I've made an assumption about what God wants me to do. So I want to just challenge that right from the start, guys. Let's not ask, Lord, when should I go back to South Africa, because that's our home. Or whether maybe you come from somewhere else back to there. Lord, you've placed me here. You've planted me here. I will not go anywhere until you tell me to go, until you send me somewhere. Amen. So it might not even be South Africa. It might not even be the place where you think. So instead of saying, Lord, this is what we're going to do. You know, you have a say in maybe when or how. But to say, no, Lord, I'll give you a blank check. Go wherever you send me. Wherever you send my family, we will go. And then that changes the picture a little bit. I mean, are you with me? But we'll talk about that again another time. All right. So let's look at the first one. We looked at reaching neighborhoods and nations. In other words, starting right here, starting close, starting in the home, starting in the community, and then taking it to nations. Matthew 28, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. talking there of going into all the nations. And then another part, he speaks specifically. He says, you will be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem, and Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he starts close. He says, yeah, in your city, you'll be my witnesses. You will be in the surrounding area. You'll be in the nation, across cultural boundaries, across racial boundaries, and to the ends of the earth. So it's going to be all of those. I mean, not all at once, always, but we're going to have our eyes close and also on the nations. Okay, we looked at that last week. And now, just in terms of practically, what does that mean? Okay, start far. Start with the nations. At the moment, we've been doing ministry weekends in Switzerland, and we will continue doing those. There's a mini one coming up in November, and I'll as soon as we have dates for next year, we'll announce them. And I want to really encourage you to plan to go to one of those. To plan it. Plan it in your year. How can we do it? Should we go as a family? Should I go alone? Or how are we going to do it? I took my family last time. It was great. It would have been great, better if it wasn't for the tummy bug. But it was really awesome. And I want to really challenge you that it's not long. It's a short weekend. But it's an amazing time when we pursue God's purpose in a different culture, in a different area. And you can talk to anybody that's been, they've been blessed. They go to serve, but they come back encouraged and blessed. So we're going to continue doing that. We also, there's an imminent church plant happening in the Netherlands that Jan Willem's parents are looking at. They're very keen. But that's probably going to happen roughly, somewhere next year. And we're going to be supporting them as much as we can from this side as well. Okay, so we're going to be supporting them in prayer and whichever way we can. So just keep that in your mind as well. And then, guys, what I had on my heart very practically is that we should work with what we have. Okay, so we've got just in the basics, I feel we need to trust God to step up. In faith, step it up in terms of in every level. So if you're involved in the band, or if you're involved in sound, or if you're involved with the children's church, then I'm trusting God for us to just take it to the next level. Whatever we're doing, to trust God to do it more excellently, to trust God to grow in our excellence in what we do. So in church services, okay, you know, whether we do it in the garden or wherever, to trust God, to step up the excellence, to trust God for the presence of God, to really get around to why are we doing church, all to the in the basics, okay? And I just want to challenge us with that as we're talking about that now. Church on a Sunday isn't meant to be focused only on us as members. It's in what we do and how we do it should be focused in a way that it is clearly focused on those that have not come yet, or those that are new, those that are coming in. Okay, so we're going to look at that in terms of something like children's church. You know, if we look at what is in our hand, let me just see, I'm running ahead now, but you know, just to take a step back, you know, if we look at what is in our hand, if you look at the picture of David running at Goliath, if you can read it again, he literally ran at him. You know, if there was any time for him to be afraid, it was probably when Goliath started to, you know, coming at him. But he actually sped up and ran at him. And he had very powerfully, he collected five stones, and he had a few basic things with him that he was comfortable with, that God blessed him with. And so this morning, and in the next few weeks, in the next months, I trust for us to see what God has put on our hands. What are the blessings? What is the provision that God has already put on our hands in terms of gifting, in terms of positioning? And one of those, funnily enough, is children. Okay, we have a lot of children. We have a lot of young families. And it makes sense for us to say, okay, this is what we have now. It's not the most comfortable demographic to grow a church with, because everybody has got lots of things to think about and running after little ones. But it is the demographic, I can guarantee you, that most churches in this area do not have. Most church leaders I speak to, when they hear what our demographic is, they go, what? That's the one we don't have. We wish we had. You know, one church we went to check out the Messy Church, I said to them, on a Sunday morning, half of us are under seven. So they're like, what? You know? And then they said, well, most of us are over 70, you know, so they got the other extreme. So, and guys, so in fact, although it is a challenge, although it's challenging for us, it is a massive strength. If any young family in this community wants to join a church or wants to get saved, then this is the one they need to join. Are you with me? So we need to think like that. And so we're going to trust God to push some more resources into children's ministry. We're going to think creatively around how we use the hall. You know, we were talking the other day about should we not do big family services from time to time, swap it around, the sermon happens somewhere else and the church stuff and the kiddie stuff happens in the hall. But, you know, we need to think creatively so that when somebody walks in there, they can see, go, these guys are going somewhere and children are welcome. I mean, so we have to look at what's put in our hand. And just in general, guys, I wanna say we've got amazing people in our church family. I don't know if you haven't, you need to look around a bit again and look at the caliber of people God has blessed us with, in terms of commitment, in terms of faithfulness. It's just amazing caliber of people that we have. So when I look around us, when I look at what God has blessed us with, I'm thinking, wow, if Jesus could do it with 12, we're going to go far. We're going to have a major impact. So I want to really encourage us to look at the blessing that God has already put on our hands. In terms of other basic things, intercession is going to be absolutely key. Right now, as God is showing us these specifics that he wants us to focus on, many of those we're going to have to pray through. We're going to have to trust God. Okay, Lord, we want to grow in our services. We want to grow in our children's church, or we want to grow in a capacity in various ways. We're going to have to pray that through in intercession. All right, so I want to really encourage you. I know this is not the most exciting thing for everybody. Speak to the guys that are passionate about it and get encouraged. And I want to challenge you to make a goal for yourself. And you know what? In terms of personal growth, this is not the only reason why you should come. But that is the place where you learn to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. I know most of you don't believe me, but I remember as a student going to pray at 5 in the morning or 5:30. That's like a miracle right there. Yeah? As a student, God gets you out of bed at that time in the morning. That must be the Lord. But I remember, you know, then you're thinking, you think you've got a word, but you don't know, you're not sure. And then somebody else prays the same thing and you're like, no way, I actually heard the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to really encourage you to get around to intercession. Small groups, even in small groups, we've had a bit of a shift now in the small groups, but that's where it's going to start, as to just do what we do, to do it in faith, to trust God and to grow in the things that he's already put in our hands. I mean, so we're going to work on that as well. And just in terms of your personal outreach, who is already in your sphere of influence? Who is already in your oikos, as they call it, at your work or at your neighbors? You know, who are the people that God has put you in contact with and that he wants you to reach out to? I mean, so something to, again, to pray through. Okay, I need to hurry a bit. The second one we looked at is we are called to care. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And it goes on. But, guys, there is an anointing on us by the Holy Spirit to care for the vulnerable, care for vulnerable people, to care for people that are in challenging situations. And just to make it practical, and I've just broken it down a little bit, but I want us to get to a place where we, as believers, not only we care for one another, which we do in amazing ways, guys. Just want to say, we do that well. We care for one another. Amen. And we need to continue to do that, even grow in that. You know, people that are coming in. But taking it to the next step is looking at those that we don't know and extending that same grace and extending that same love, that same hand of support, that same just recognizing a need in somebody's life. You know, I love what's happening on and even these WhatsApp groups that are happening. Some of them are a bit random, and then it gets like weird requests in between. But you know, you'd have somebody saying, you know, they're not well or something, there's a bit of a crisis, and then there's people offering food, and it's such a blessing, guys. But now we need to just take it that one step further, where you recognize, my neighbor's not doing well, or somebody's ill, let's step out and let's meet that need. And let's not do it on our own, let's pull in the small group, or let's pull in whoever else and step in there, okay? And I spoke to somebody recently about that in terms of somebody having a baby, because that's also something you're good at, making food for people that have babies, all right? But, and they were saying that, yes, they're going to be overwhelmed. And I agree with you, they probably will be overwhelmed, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, we can be sensitive in how we do it, but people are going to be overwhelmed when they are face to face with the love of Christ manifested through people. Okay, so let's not let that hinder us. Okay, so what do you look out for? Who's in a time of crisis? Who's experiencing a time of change? Who's new in the community, etc.? Who's experiencing a time of maybe even physical need? Okay, or emotional need or emotional support. So listen to somebody added talking about training his members to respond to certain cues. So the moment, you know, it's a bit funny to think like that, but to train yourself, when you hear somebody saying, you know, well, we didn't expect that to happen, or, you know, or we knew in the area, that immediately you think, okay, you know, there's a little bell that goes off in your head, and you go, do you want to come to church, or can we help? And it shouldn't be like that. It should be natural. But you know, just to get us into that habit, that healthy place of recognizing needs around us and jumping right in there. I mean, we are supporting food banks, and we want to extend that support a little bit more and make it more regular. And as our children are starting to go into schools. And already going to school, there's a massive opportunity there, guys. There's lots of families we're meeting there. There's lots of opportunities to connect with people, but also to care for people and support people. We underestimate the support that we have, and we don't remember what it's like not to have that. So I'm really trusting for God to show us again, to give us that heart to that understanding for somebody that is outside of a community like ours. Okay. All right. Just to get back to the caring one, where and just in terms of the basics that God has put in our hand, we even in small groups. You know, I was visiting the men's small group the other night, and I was really encouraged. A lot of things. The guys, they're committing to pray for one another, but they're also committing to trust God for words to minister to one another. So even basics like that, guys, it's where it starts. Where you and I choose to engage with God about somebody else. Say, Lord, okay, I know I've got lots of things I want to pray for, but this morning I'm praying for my friend John. Lord, what is on your heart for him? It doesn't have to be 20 hours. It can be... Give me a few minutes, but Lord, what is on your heart for John? Or John, I know John is trusting for a job, so I'm going to be praying for him this morning. I'm going to trust with him. And myself, you're thinking, oh, but I also want a different job. But that's fine then. If you pray for John's job first, and you see how God honors that. Okay, so I'm really blessed with what's happening, but I'm really trusting that we'll take that a step forward. And it starts in the home. If we, you know, ministering to our families, ministering to our children, it's very, very practical and very, that's where the basics where it starts. Okay. Okay, so in terms of launching leaders and raising up leaders, this is very much part of Shofar vision right from the start. If you look at any Shofar church, funnily enough, you'll find people, God adds people that are leaders. Okay. And this is very much part of our makeup spiritually as well. let's read just from 2 Timothy here for a second, 2 verse 2. You therefore, my son, this is Paul writing to Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And we see this powerful progression of people pouring themselves into others and receiving what they have received from men and from Christ and pouring it into somebody else. And Paul, at the end of his life, he says, I'm poured out as a drink offering. He says, I've got nothing left. I've got nothing. That's all. I've given everything. I've poured it all out. And such a powerful thing to say, to that everything that I have, I've given Everything that I've received, everything that I've learned, everything that God has done in me, I've given. That's so powerful, guys. And I'm trusting that we would live in the same way, not only towards our children, because we do that easily with our children. You know, I'm holding nothing back. If I look like I haven't had much sleep, it's because I haven't had much sleep. You know, in the night, whatever, you don't hold back. But it's the same when we're making disciples, guys. There's an anointing for us to pour ourselves into others. And we see this amazing progression. Paul says to Timothy, what you've received from me, these things that you've heard from me. So it's from Paul to Timothy, and he says, commit these to others. So he says, Timothy, make sure that you pass this on. And then he says, but you pass it on to somebody that will pass it on. And we see this powerful progression happening where I am investing myself into somebody else that will invest themselves into somebody else again. That is how discipleship works, and that is how the gospel... we skipped one here. Should we do it manually? Down the road. Wait. Give me a moment. All right. So we start at home. Start with the children. Start with your family. If you're the head of the home, your wife and children are your most important disciples. Amen. Preaching it myself here. And that's where it starts. We had a great situation the other day. I've told you about Abby and her funny things, but I reckon God is raising her up as a mighty woman of God. I don't want to make jokes here this morning, but she's going to be awesome. She already is. But I told her about her trusting for David to be healed so he can walk, right? So he's almost walking, so that's... But now, the other day, we were at a party last Sunday afternoon in Wimbledon Park. And she loves outdoor parties, so obviously always a thing about the weather. And it was looking a bit dodgy, but it's a bit windy, but it was fine. And then Abby and I were coming back from the bathroom, and it started raining. And I'm trying to teach her to be thankful. So I always tell her, thank God for the rain. And she says, no, she doesn't like the rain. You know, she's not there yet. And now it starts to rain. She's like, Daddy, it's raining. You know, what a disaster. Now it's a party and now it's raining. And I tell her, we did this story or this account of Christ speaking to the storm, you know. And she loves it because in her Bible, it's got this beautiful German picture Bible. The one drawing is like this massive storm and Jesus putting out his hand, and the next one, everything is flat. You know, he kind of really brings across the message. And I tell her, what did Jesus say? You know, and she goes like this, and he looks up and she points and she says, stop. And I say to her, yes, let's say, stop in Jesus' name. And you know what? The rain stopped right there. Now, a lot of people say, yeah, it's coincidence. But for me and my daughter in that moment, that's powerful. Because did you see what happened there? Did you see what God did? Did you see how God responds to when we step out in faith? You know? And so I want to encourage us, guys, take hold of situations like that. Grab hold of moments where we can impart unto others the faith that God has put into us. Amen. And it's funny how the children actually, and other people you're walking with, it gives you opportunity to grow in boldness. Okay, well, yes, you know what Scripture says, we should pray for the sick, so let's do that, you know. This morning, when we dropped off Anna at a race, she's running a race this morning. I don't know why they have all of these on a Sunday morning. But we prayed for her, you know, as a family, we could pray for her. Trust for, you know, to be not to get injured and all of that. And that, so that's where it starts. And it starts in the small group, same thing. It's like family. It's a place where we can invest ourselves into others. It's a place where we can hold each other accountable for growth. That thing that you're trusting for, I'm standing with you. I'm trusting with you. Calling out the greatness in each other. I really feel that there's a capacity that we have and that we need to step into to encourage. You look at David again. The guys that joined with David when he was fleeing from Saul, they were not the A scholars. Okay, they were the dropouts. But somehow, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they were turned into the mighty men. So I want us to get to a place where we trust for that same anointing, that where, no matter where you are at in man's eyes, that we recognize what God has placed in each of us. And that we call that out. You know, if somebody joins, you know, guys, I know it doesn't feel like it, but the time will come when more and more people will come to church that are broken. It's starting to happen in London. People that walk into my office from upstairs, the building we're at, is the guys they work with, homeless young people and jobless guys. And people that come in there, they're broken. And they need Christ. And it's for us to recognize that and to be able to invest that in, and to be able to recognize, but there's an anointing to minister to these guys. I mean, so, and it's so easy to look into the state of the person. You know, I spoke to a young lady the other day. She's 17. She's been to prison. She's done cocaine and whatever else. She's got a lifetime of problems, and she's only 17. How easy is it for me to look into that and think, wow, you're not going to go anywhere. You know, good luck with that type of thing. No, you look and you say, God, what do you see? And that's what I call out. Say, you know what I see? I see this. God has got a plan. And I want to encourage you to start here, to start in your small group, to not, because we share our issues, right? So we know of, you know, obviously you can't hide, when you're a parent, you can't hide the issues. But to look beyond those and to say, Lord, what do you see in John? What do you see in my friend? And to say, I want to call that out. I'm going to pray for that. Look, you know what? I know there's stuff that we're dealing with, but God wants to do that in your life. Are you with me? Amen. And there's an anointing for that, guys. The encouragement and exhorting one another. And then finally... This is how we're going to do things, guys. If you have a job in church, okay, it's not a job. If you have a role, or if you're responsible for something, multiply yourself. In other words, find somebody else that you can train up to do the same thing. And by the time you finish with them, they must do it better than you. Amen. Especially if you feel God is sending you to Afghanistan to go and be a minister, go and plant a church, then give yourself a few months to train somebody up to take your place. Are you with me? That's good stewardship. We can't just leave gaps and disappear. I mean, and even if you're not going anywhere, to build a team around what God has put in your hand. Say, okay, you know what? We've got the hospitality ministry. It doesn't look like much at the moment, but we're going to make it awesome. We're going to make it, because that's the front line, by the way, guys. That's the first contact. Somebody walks in church, somebody that is with a smile at the door, you know, beautiful welcome pack or whatever. That is critical. And for us to take ownership of each role, each little bit that you have, and to say, you know what, I'm going to trust God for His anointing. You know, there's a lot of admin around this. Maybe there's some scheduling and rotas that need to happen. But trust God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. For that thing, and don't see it as a chore. See it as your ministry. Amen. Take ownership of it and recognize the eternal fruit that comes from that. It's easy for us to only see the problems. Believe me, I have to wrestle with that every day. You know, and you, because you're problem solving all the time. So. Let's look beyond that and trust God to see what He sees and where He wants to take that, what you're doing. Multiply yourself, invest yourself in others in that way as well. Amen. Okay, now in terms of leaders as well, guys, we have incredible resources that God is blessing us with in terms of Encounter series, Bible school, various things that we do. Next year, at least twice, we're going to have guys from South Africa come and do leadership development with us. So I want to really challenge you. Take a hold of those opportunities. And if you think, man, I've done that encounter thing. I've done it when it was foundations in 1995. I've done all that stuff. It's not about ticking the box. It's about, yes, okay, you've had the growth in your own life. So now let's do that for somebody else. In other words, let's trust God to facilitate that. You know, that's places where I've grown the most, where I've taken time aside and said, this weekend, I'm going to take the whole weekend. Crazy idea. Take the whole weekend, give up my whole weekend, and serve somebody else so they can have healing that I've already received. Crazy idea. But you know what? The blessing is greater in the giving than in the receiving. So I want to encourage you to look at which foundation course or which encounter course you want to serve in and you want to get involved in, and see and experience that absolute blessing and fulfillment of partnering with Christ to see somebody's life transformed forever. If your life has been transformed, then I tell you, that's a blessing. But the having a role, partnering with Christ in seeing somebody else's life transformed is even more fulfilling than that. Because that is part of that yoking with Christ, because that is what we've been designed to do. That is where we find fulfillment, and that's where we find rest, is when we're yoking with Christ and seeing others' lives change. Amen? Amen. We're going to get very practical now, guys, but let's stand first, and we're going to pray. Before we pray, we've got a few practical needs, okay? And this is one of the things that, this is really ironic, because Shofar's always been strong with worship. It's just one of the blessings that we have. Or let me say it differently. God has always done something special through worship in Shofar, okay? And we have had amazing musicians come through the UK and serve us here. And it's been such a blessing. And we have amazing musicians at the moment. But we don't have many at the moment. And right now, it's funny enough, more than any time before, God is convicting me that worship is going to be absolute key for the UK and for Europe. And every time we go to Europe, the Lord does ridiculous things in worship. Last time in Switzerland, I'll tell you, I told the guys, the band, okay, we're going to do one song, and then I'm going to teach, and then we're going to worship after. And this is after Fred, you know, randomly said, Yaku, why don't you do this session? I'm like, okay, give me 5 minutes. No, but then, okay, so the guys were preparing. They were just jamming a bit at the beginning, and then it turned into the most anointed, just Holy Spirit-led worship that I've heard in a long time. 3 hours, that one song. It lasted 3 hours. And it was just so anointed. And there were words, and people were ministered to, and we prayed, and we went into intercession. And one stage there was a word to, we prayed against the stuff happening in Iraq and the Islamic State things. And Fred got a word, and he said that the financial source will be exposed. And then the next day it was exposed, you know, stuff like that. So it was just such an anointing. And I believe it's going to be a key for us here. It's something to do with not teaching something, because the guys around you are so intellectual and they're so well informed. In Europe, the same. But the Holy Spirit, encountering the presence of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's when it's a big part of what's going to swing it. Okay, so what I'm sharing this is, at the moment, ironically enough, we're not in the natural, we're not strong in our worship teams. But guys, that's why we're going to pray it through. That's why we're going to trust God. That's why we're going to pray and trust God if we add more worshipers. Amen? So that's one of the things I want to encourage you with. So that's one of the things we want to grow in. So we're going to, just now, after we prayed, we're going to have an opportunity quickly to split up in terms of where you want to get involved in, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to worship. Okay, so the band, okay, we need guys to join the worship band. Kate has been prophetic. She's volunteered before I asked, so that's very cool. Thanks. We've children's church, believe it or not. We always have place for help there. And you know what? It's also possible if you don't have children. Okay, but we need hands there. I know some of the people with the small babies, it's difficult. But also it's possible for if you are a man. I know this is radical stuff. Please, if you have the guts, we need some people there. And then the faithful guys doing the sound, we need some guys there. And then hospitality is another place where the opportunities to get involved. So I know not everybody's here this morning. So if you know of somebody that is kind of cruising in and out of church and is involved in some ways, but can kind of grow in that area, encourage them. Be bold to encourage them. Okay, I'm going to just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for an excitement in our hearts to know that you have called us to be here right now and nowhere else. So, Lord, we as a congregation, as individuals, we will not pray about where else, Lord, because you have put us here. And unless you come and send us somewhere else, Lord, this is where we are, and this is where you have planted us, God, and this is where we will flourish, and this is where we will see your kingdom come. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, for a conviction of your planting. As the scripture says, we are, you know, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And thank you for a conviction of your planting. In the same way that David had a conviction that he comes in the name of the Lord God of hosts and running at the giant, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you give us that same conviction, that same boldness, that we will run at any giant. We will run at every opposition with the confidence that God has given me a job to do here. He's given me a mandate. He's given us as a body, a shofar. He's put us here in this nation, in this place, in this area right now for a very specific purpose. Holy Spirit, fill us with that boldness. Fill us with that confidence. Fill us with that fearlessness to do your will, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, that as a body, each one of us has roles to play. And I thank you, Lord, we want to repent, Lord, where we've missed it, Lord. Where we've gone into dead works, Lord, or where we've just been idle. And where certain parts of the body have suffered because we have not taken our place, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray this morning for a conviction, Lord, for each of us to say, Lord, thank you that I can grow as I serve, Lord, that I can grow as I give, that I can grow as I play my part as the part of the body that I am, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. Yeah, I just feel that even as that word came with in terms of the armor, I just feel as some are starting to serve, that heavy stuff will come off and you're gonna start to move again in your relationship with Christ. I just feel some have been felt that they've been hindered. But as we serve, as you commit, as you put, you know, commit to something, I just feel it's like taking ownership of the house, of your own house. As we start doing that, I feel God is going to deal with the heavy stuff. And I feel some of us are going to experience again the momentum and the movement as we grow in Christ that we haven't had for many years. And Father, we thank you for that, God, in Jesus' name. Yeah, Lord, it's as if the world says, no, take time out. Do less. We just want to veg more and do less. But I feel God saying, as you step out, as you yoke with me, excuse me, I'm going to deal with that stuff. You're going to rise up on wings like eagles. You're going to see things from a different perspective. You're going to experience a different grace upon your life as you align your priorities with mine, says God. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that blessing, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. As the band comes up, if you want to be a part of the band, you can join them, and they're just going to pray. Or if you're on the band already, just pray briefly there. If you feel you can help with sound equipment or sound setup, please join me and Louis for a moment in the front here. We just pray a prayer of agreement, and thank God for His provision for the season. If you what else was this? Children's Church. Rob, can you make a group there? For the Shine guys, for children. And then will you make a group for hospitality maybe on this side? What else was there? Yeah, I think those are the main ones. Okay, so if you want to get involved in any of those, please, or if you're not in yet, just join one of the groups, and then let's pray a prayer of agreement, and then we're going to worship. Okay, amen. All right, God bless. So you can disperse and then come back for worship. Amen. I'm going to be off to London, so be blessed.